5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm going to give a quick sec here for everybody to roll in here, and then we're going to talk about what the hell Donald Trump is thinking when it goes down to Syria, why he thinks it's okay to make a deal with Jelani. U.S. hostages ended up getting released from inside Gaza, so that's a good thing. And it looks like we have a very clear line drawn in the sand when it comes down to Iran and what they will and will not be allowed to do in the future. USS Carl Vinson has decided to sneak in a little bit closer. We got all that and more coming up for you guys as soon as everybody rolls in here. Does that intro music sound jacked up to you guys? Holy hell. What's going on down there? Hey, everybody. What's up? Yeah, I wanted to get that going, but all of a sudden, all my intro music started to sound a little bit weird. So I don't even think I'm going to bother to. Oh, sounds good to you guys, huh? How do I sound? You guys happy with how I sound tonight? Is this okay? You guys feeling good over there? Yeah. Sup. See, audio 100. Pants check. I'm wearing pants. You guys aren't going to pants check me tonight. No. You guys want to see some Russians blow up, courtesy of the red, white, and blues HIMARS? Yeah? Everybody say hell yeah if you want to see some Russians blow up tonight. You know what? Instead of intro music, let's just do this. Let's just watch some Russians get blown to shit.
Leon, давай забираем, уёбываем. Давай забираем, уёбываем, Лен.
Uh-oh. Can someone please figure out for me what camera that man was using? Because I might need one in this studio. It seems like my crap is breaking all the time. Don Booz, what's going on, Matt? New set looks great. Well, thank you, Don Booz. We haven't even completed the news yet. I'm still waiting on a couple more things to get here. It's all running a little bit behind, but I wanted to, you know, make sure it looks nice and spiffy for you guys as we go in here. It's going to be a nice new permanent studio setup. Hold on. Scott Bevins coming in, gifting out a Speak the Truth membership. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. Awesome. Andy becoming a true supporter. Woo! What's up, Mike? Good to see you guys. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get going. I hope everybody thinks the audio sounds okay. I like to think the audio sounds okay today. Ended up having a bug this morning that I ended up having to get out of the system. Everybody knows. New studio, new bug. Got to play that game. Now, let's go take a look at this, because It looks like the U.S. Navy has been sneaking in. Everybody's a little bit worried about the United States kind of abandoning Israel, and it doesn't appear to be that way, at least in my opinion. When we go and we start scrolling down, we take a look down here, and we start looking at where the current deployments are at for the freaking U.S. Well, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Bad. You can see, like, U.S. Carl Vincent right down over here. Let me blow this up a little bit bigger for you guys. U.S. Carl Vincent is right down over here. It pushed pretty freaking far east, if you ask me. It's pushing up over towards the Persian Gulf, it would appear to be. And the Truman's going to, you know, do whatever the Truman does, go away. Now, I did hear today, unconfirmed, that the Houthis attempted to shoot at some of our aircraft in and around the Red Sea. But what the Houthis are claiming is that they shot down another freaking, what the hell is the name of those dang drones? Oh, man. God dang, man. Brain fart tonight on that stupid ass drone. Predator. Pred. They said that they shot down another Pred. Unconfirmed. There is a video of it out there floating around. But again, completely and totally unconfirmed. Houthis have claimed they've shot down a lot of things in the past that ended up not actually coming through. Let's talk about this nuclear facility over in Iran, because this is what I want to get to. We're going to talk about the American hostage being released here in just a little bit, along with some other things. But Reaper, not Predator, I'm sorry, Reaper, thank you guys very much. Man, brain farting all over tonight. All right, so let's get into this, because last week this ended up coming out. I remember talking about it and reporting on it, but I want to make sure that you guys are tracking it, because this is kind of what we're going to be getting into. Matthew Newman, becoming a true supporter. Good to have you on board. Tom Bones says, looks like Rob turned the tables and put Matt in the basement. Rob didn't put me in the basement. I put myself in the bunker. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm calling it. It is the bunker, and I love this freaking place, whether you like it or not. I absolutely love the bunker, so get used to it, because I love it here. All right, let's go.
There's exclusive satellite images revealing the location of a previously unknown Iranian nuclear site. Now, the facility spans nearly 2,500 acres, and this is a big discovery. Jillian Turner has more from the State Department. Good morning, Jillian.
Pretty explosive, Dana. These satellite images that we have obtained exclusively show the alleged site location and even the layout of the secret, previously unknown nuclear weapons facilities inside Iran. This, of course, raises fresh concerns about the regime's role in these ongoing nuclear talks with the Trump administration. The National Council of Resistance of Iran has collected intelligence from sources on the ground inside Iran that locate this nuclear weapons facility in what is called Semnan Province, far from the regime's already known nuclear sites. It's codenamed the Rainbow Site by Iran's officials, and it spans nearly 2,500 acres. It's been operating, as far as we can discern, for over a decade under the cover of a chemical production company that's called Deba Energy Seba. The so-called rainbow site's reportedly being used primarily to extract tritium. It is a material that's...
Do you guys remember this from last week? I hope you do, because the U.S. drew some very, very clear lines. Everybody was questioning. Israelis were questioning it. Americans were questioning it. Everybody was questioning whether or not we were going to be dumb enough to allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Listen to me right here. Listen to me. They are not going to be allowed to enrich uranium. It's not going to be happening. It's just not. They did say that they'd allow them to have a peaceful nuclear energy program, but they're going to have to import their uranium just like everybody else. Marco Rubio today came out and said that Iran is significantly advancing their freaking nuclear program, and he is not going to allow that to happen either. And because of that, what he ended up doing was announcing new sanctions against all of these nut jobs over inside of Iran. They're basically financing Iran's freaking nuclear weapon program. He did flat out come out and say, I believe he actually called it was like a dual purpose nuclear program that they ended up having. So he announced, and I quote, he said, today we are sanctioning Iranian nationals contributing to nuclear weapons relevant research and development. Our actions are part of the president's call for maximum pressure against Iran's proliferation activities and to assure Tehran is never able to obtain a nuclear weapon. So I hope that is perfectly clear for you guys. If that's not clear enough either, and you know, he's not my favorite. I don't like listening to Ted Cruz, but sometimes you just got to. Did I see SkyGad coming in and gift out 20 Speak the Truth memberships? Did that actually happen when I wasn't looking? I think it did. Yep. SkyGad's in the house, ladies and gentlemen, dropping them like it's hot.
That is exactly right. And I got to say, Mark, that there's a real contrast between the strength that President Trump has shown with respect to Iran and the weakness and appeasement that Joe Biden showed for 4 years. The first term, President Trump took on Iran directly, pulled out of the disastrous Obama-Iran nuclear deal. He ended the civilian nuclear waivers. He ended the oil waivers. And the result, maximum pressure, put the Iranian economy into free fall. Their oil sales fell from a million barrels a day of oil down all the way down to 300,000 barrels of oil. When Joe Biden came into office, the Iranian economy was in shambles and the Ayatollah and the mullahs were teetering and near collapse. Mm-hmm. But sadly, Biden reversed everything. He did complete appeasement. He stopped enforcing the oil sanctions. And as a result,
anybody else get tired of hearing about what the last president did? Will you please at least just tell me what the current president is going to do? Like, I get it. You want to crap on Biden. It's really easy. But for the love of God, tell me what the hell we're going to do.
The Ayatollah's oil sales skyrocketed from 300,000 barrels a day to 2 million barrels a day. That's $100 billion that Joe Biden and the Democrats gave the Ayatollah. And the Ayatollah is using it to fund the IRGC to attack and kill Americans. The Ayatollah is using that to fund Hamas and Hezbollah. In a very real sense, Joe Biden and the money he gave the Ayatollah funded October 7th. Now,
well, great. Now we're all aware. Thank you, Ted Cruz. I can't listen to Ted Cruz really that often. All right. So let's hear more about our domestic policy going up over towards Iran.
And yesterday, Iran's foreign minister said Iran is open to adjusting the amount of enrichment it does as a confidence building measure. When you hear that, it's not something that Iran says every day. What do you think?
It might be something Iran thinks is a good gesture, but we reject that. The United States has been absolutely clear, from Special Envoy Witkoff to Rubio to President Trump to Vice President Vance, there will be zero domestic enrichment inside Iran. That is an absolute nothing that we will compromise on. There may be a civil nuclear program, but that means that uranium will be imported. It will not be something that the Iranians can enrich inside their country. So far, the two sides are irreconcilable on that very basic point.
Well, thank you very much, senior fellow from the Hudson Institute. You guys heard it there, and you're going to hear it again as well as we get into it. Now, Iran is not going to be allowed to enrich uranium. The United States is not going to allow to do it. But I'll tell you something else that is going on over in the Middle East when it goes down to negotiations. Word came out that Trump is actually considering meeting up with al-Jilani on his trip over and around the Middle East. And Trump actually made a pretty damn dangerous statement today. I want to see if I can find it real quick, because to me, it's kind of pertinent for everything that's going on over there. He actually said that they are considering allowing them to do it. I'm not kidding you. They are considering lifting sanctions on Syria. And I don't know how he says that, because Syria technically doesn't have anyone in charge. They've got a freaking terrorist in charge.
I'm having to do with Syria, too, by the way. We're going to have to make a decision on the sanctions, which we may very well relieve. We may take them off of Syria because we want to give them a fresh start. But President Erdogan's asked me about that. Many people have asked me about that,
because
the way we
did
have them sanctioned, it doesn't really give them much of a start. So we want to see if we can help them out. So we'll make that determination. But I think you're having to do
it. We want to help give Syria a head start. Did I hear that correct? You guys, am I right or am I wrong? Did he literally just say those words? And every time he says something stupid, I swear it ends up happening at a dang press conference when somebody asks him questions. Absolutely not. You cannot, absolutely cannot allow any of those sanctions to be lifted against Syria. You absolutely cannot meet up with al-Jilani without having somebody from the Secret Service put a dang bullet in his head. He is the leader of he's the leader and founder of a freaking foreign terror organization in the United States, like, of America. We designated his ass. We did. And he made his statements very clear about why he wanted to overthrow the Assad regime, and now he's in charge of it. And Trump is literally talking about greenlighting al-Jilani. That is freaking insane. Absolutely nuts. You cannot do that. You can't give them no, absolutely not. But I want to ask Australians here, and I know we got some Australian listeners. I'm not quite sure how you guys end up finding us, but you always do. I don't know why, but the Aussies always seem to find us. So my question is, how well is this Palestinian refugee thing going over there. Ended up seeing that a whole brand new shipment of Palestinian refugees ended up making their way up over into Australia today. Yep. Ended up making it over there. So I'm just curious, is Australia going to be the next UK? I got a feeling it might actually turn out to be that way. I found truth finds a way. Yeah, dang right. Yeah, well, they got to go somewhere, you know, and what people are speculating, and somebody tagged me in a thought over on Twitter, and they asked me what my thoughts were on it, and I was like, you know what, you might be right, and I hope you're wrong. What people were saying was that the reason Trump might be meeting up with Al-Jilani is because he is considering whether or not to lift the sanctions placed on Syria so that they end up taking all of the Palestinian refugees out of Gaza. That was part of the plan not that long ago. That was part of the plan not that long ago, if I remember correctly. And I'll have to go dig back and try to remember who the heck it was that ended up saying it. But I did hear, and I remember reporting on it, that the Palestinian refugees out of Gaza were going to end up going over into Syria, over at some of those different camps. Now, we did have a U.S. hostage get released today. And believe it or not, sounds like we didn't inform Israel that was going on until after the negotiations had already basically taken place. I don't know how else to say that. After the hostage ended up getting released, it looks like we ended up going directly after he was released, Israel started bombing the crap out of Gaza again. I don't think it was at a significant rate as was reported, but ended up going back on. We're going to touch on that. The other big thing that a lot of people are complaining about right now is Trump getting this airplane from Qatar. And, you know, they've got good reason, I guess, to be concerned about it. I don't exactly know why. When I look at it, it's kind of silly on my take. I think there's a lot of TDS going on with that. I think there's other things that people could be worried about besides the airplane. Like, I don't know, maybe dealing with a terrorist inside Syria. That to me seems like something that everybody should be complaining about. But I digress. Let's get back on to the task at hand, which is, well, you know what? No, hell with it. Let's dive into this real quick. I was going to save it for a little bit later on, but you know what? Let's dive into this silly business. Let's dive into it. Let's talk about this airplane real quick.
Clarify that Qatar is giving us a new Air Force One as a personal gift to President Trump. Are they gifting it to the country? What could you tell us about this luxury liner that looks like a hotel in the air?
Well, the Qatari government has graciously offered to donate a plane to the Department of Defense. The legal details of that are still being worked out, but of course, any donation to this government is always done in full compliance with the law, and we commit ourselves to the utmost transparency.
Yes,
and
we do.
We will continue to do that.
Do you worry that if they give us something like this, they want something in return?
Absolutely not, because they know President Trump and they know he only works with the interests of the American public in mind. So,
yeah, yep, that we do. And by the way, not only did we get that airplane, and here's the thing that a lot of people are, I guess, really upset about, that Qatar, number one, funded Hamas, right? But additionally, that the United States government is getting this airplane. There's a lot of misreporting or misinformation that's going around saying that Trump is personally receiving this as a gift and it's corruption, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But here's a fact. Number one, that it's not going to Donald Trump. He is not signing for it. He doesn't get the title of that airplane. It actually goes to the Department of Defense. U.S. Air Force is going to take the sucker and upfit it to be like a interim Air Force One, if you will. Now, it's not even scheduled to be done. Like, done getting freaking complete until his freaking presidency is over. At least that's what people are saying, right? It's going to take a couple years in order to make that happen. Even then, after that, after it's done being that little interim aircraft over there while we're fixing all of our really, really old Air Force One jets, it's going to then go into his presidential library, which is essentially a museum, and people are worried that he might use the dang thing. Well, I got news for you. Former presidents of the United States of America are actually entitled to use DOD aircraft. It's actually like their number one form of official transportation. Every now and then they might use some private Learjets, things of that nature, but it's very, very rare that they end up, I don't want to say this, very, very rare that they end up like booking on commercial flights. And if they do, they end up booking the entire dang thing out. And so, yeah, DOD 100% is going to maintain control over that aircraft. They're probably going to be doing maintenance on it. But either way, even if he does end up using it out of the library, if Trump is traveling around, he's still still entitled to DOD freaking aircraft, and they are all old as freaking sin, and they need to get fixed. Why not? I think our government has better shit to be worrying about. Like, I don't know, Syria, perhaps. Now let's talk about this gentleman right here. He ended up making his way back into the hands of Israel today. He is a dual U.S. citizen. It's a fact. He is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. He was also serving in the IDF at the time that he ended up getting captured by Hamas on October 7th. So that's good. That's very, very good. I'm happy we got him back. I'm very, very happy we got him back. He spent a long time in captivity, 19 freaking months over in captivity by these little like Hamas bastards, right? Well, today he ended up getting returned. I probably should give you guys his name. Idan Alexander, and I know I mispronounced it. Everybody, like, please give me a break. I get it. It's like when people were giving me crap for saying Kiev instead of Kiev. All right, like, everybody, like, chillax, okay? Not that big of a deal. All right, I really don't give a crap. People end up mispronouncing my name all the time. They call me Retardio when really it's Tardio. All right, here we go. I'm just going to go ahead and mute it because all you're going to hear is a bunch of wind. The Red Cross ended up going and picking him up for the first time in 19 months. They were actually able to check on him and subsequently transport him back over into IDF control. IDF then took him and handed him back over to his family. So that's good. So from Hamas to Red Cross to IDF, and then he's able to go get back with his family and actually enjoy them again. Edon. I said it right. Good. Thank you, Awesome Manny. Greatly appreciate you. So he ended up making it back. Got a couple videos of him going all the way through. And before I even get all the way deep into those videos, I want to let you guys know, he said, thank you, President Trump. That's what he ended up saying. Now, as we continue to roll through all of these and we start talking about it, this picture started making its way around quite a bit. The video that I watched, and I'm going to show you guys the video of him being returned to his family, didn't show all of this damage to his arm. I don't know if it was because of the lighting or anything like that, but you were actually able to see this one right here just kind of because of how the cameras work. I want you to take a look at that. All the bruising, everything else. Look at his skin all the way around as we go into this. Sky God coming in, dropping 50 Speak the Truth memberships. Holy cow, Sky God in the house tonight, baby. So this is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. This one right here. It is said that when he was in captivity for 19 months, that he was subject to torture, obviously. He was kept handcuffed and chained down to a freaking cage for a freaking while. Never really got to see daylight. They said that he was tortured and strangled. So not only did they strangle a baby, at least this time they strangled a grown man who at one point in time was in uniform. But I want you to take a good look at that. Take a very, very good look at it. Because this is what this gentleman endured while we sat here playing politics. And this is what I was so pissed off about for so long, is that we had hostages over, and we still do, still 48 of them in there, if my count is correct, 48 over inside Gaza, 48. And there's still people that are upset that we were actually able to get them out there. U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, says that he's relieved that Adon Alexander has finally made it home. He said, just like POTUS, we hope that this long overdue release marks the beginning of an end to this terrible war. Hamas alone is responsible for the continued death and suffering, and we demand the immediate release of all remaining hostages. So at least the U.S. ambassador to Israel has some tough words for Hamas this go round, and we're actually going to put some weight behind it. A lot of the credit for his release actually ended up going over towards the Trump administration, and that basically them threatening Hamas, saying if you don't release them, all hell's going to break loose. And they keep echoing that back all the way to the beginning before Trump even got in office, saying that we're going to freaking crush them. And that is the primary, like, means, I guess, of how we got him out, was just absolute pressure. Israel did stop shooting at Hamas for a brief period of time while they were moving him to get him out of the country. But the moment he got out, they opened back up on him. This is him convoying his way back into Israel. Now, to me, probably the greatest thing about him, like, coming back into Israel and being met by, like, cheering crowds, I actually think that's on their way to, like, go over and get him, because he was released a little bit more towards the daylight, as you guys saw in those videos. But also in his hometown over here in America, you had people that were actually, like, gathered up at 5 a.m. this morning waiting on him to get released. And then we ended up seeing videos of him being reunited with his family, which I absolutely freaking, like, loved and got proud of. But not everybody is happy with this situation. People are actually kind of ticked off because the U.S. and Israel weren't, you know, in each other's ear this entire time as this negotiation was taking place. Andreas Northrup says, nice new setup. What the hell? You stop that. You stop. You stop. Don't you wig out on me, computer. Nice new setup. Thank you, Andreas. And Will Ouellette coming in, gifting out $4. Appreciate you, Will. And Linda Lou just dropping some hearts because that's what Linda Lou does. Let's go ahead and give this a listen. You guys are... here we go. Let's just run it.
Well, I make of it a worrying trend because apparently this is not only a single issue where the U.S. didn't consult with Israel. We've also heard that when the U.S. Started a truce with the Houthis in Yemen, Israel was not consulted, even though, like the U.S., Israel is also engaged in war with the Houthis. We also hear that the United States is not consulting with Israel over the nuclear talks with Iran, and we know that the nuclear issue is existential to Israel. So it looks like a part of a pattern where Washington just decides what to do, and more often than not, I mean, sometimes what Washington does is in the interest of Israel, but even if so, that's not how allies and friends deal with one another. You know, the basic rule of allies is for them to be coordinating, to be in touch, to be, you know, to be aware of what the other doing at all times.
Is this a major diplomatic win for Qatar?
Well, I think Qatar is having the best week of its year this year so far. This is being one of them, of course, placing itself as the mediator at the time. It is a party. I mean, you know, Qatar, if Qatar wanted to release all the 59 hostages, it could have done so. So now Qatar is just playing politics, and, you know, they're aware, or they are trying to divide and conquer the United States and Israel. And by the way, this is not only the Qatari policy and media, this is also the Iranian policy and media. If you look up Iranian media, you will see that at all times they are trying to make nice with the U.S. while insisting that Israel is the bad guy. So this is a trend that's going on with all the regimes that at any given time are instigating against both the U.S. and Israel, but they're trying maybe to split the two allies.
And what are you?
I don't know whether or not Qatar is trying to split the two allies here. Tregus, 44, coming in. He says, so glad Adan is back. The conditions on how this was handled may not have been optimal, but all that matters is a young American life is safe. I would totally agree with that. It was actually interesting learning about that young man and the fact that, like, pretty much after graduated from high school, he ended up joining a program that allowed him to transition to join the IDF as a dual citizen. And he was only serving for about a year when October 7th had hit. When he ended up getting captured, it is said that he was all by himself against like 10 Hamas terrorists, which is freaking insane. I can only imagine what that dude has been through. I ended up asking you guys a poll over here before we finish this video. I said, did the Trump admin screw Israel with this exchange? 28% of you guys actually think that the U.S. did somehow screw Israel. For those of you that said yes, I'm very curious how you think the United States ended up screwing Israel over this hostage exchange, because we didn't even exchange anything as far as I'm concerned. We just ended up getting a U.S. hostage released, who also happens to be a member of the IDF, who also happens to be an Israeli citizen as well. So if you can explain to me how that screwed Israel over, I would be really happy to hear about it. I understand that going through Qatar is not the best way to go about doing these things, but at the end of the day, he ended up getting somebody out. And I can only imagine what ended up actually happening, like the backside that we will never know about in order to facilitate this entire movement. I have not forgot that Ismail Haniyeh, along with a lot of other little jihadists, were celebrating over in Qatar on October 7th. And I don't think any of you guys have either. But at the end of the day, the man is out of captivity, and that's a good thing. My only concern with it is the same concern that I've always had. Why are we pausing the fighting? What the hell are we waiting on? When you have people like that that are sitting in captivity every single day that are being tortured, what are we waiting for? Just start kicking those teeth in already.
Your overall expectations for this trip? I mean, we've got a valuable gift for the president from Qatar, a deal with Saudi Arabia that apparently will cut out the Israelis, lifting sanctions on Syria and former al-Qaeda fighter al-Sharaa. Do you see any silver lining here at all?
Well, not to take away from the greatness of this event, let me just say that all the capitals of the region, including the capitals of the Gulf, except for Qatar, all of them are waiting for the results of nuclear talks with Iran. None of what will be said over the course of this week will count much, depending on how things unfold with Iran. If there's a deal, then whatever they say tomorrow will be different. If there's no deal and there might be escalation and probably a strike on Iranian enrichment, then whatever they're saying tomorrow will be irrelevant. So I think mm-hmm. the spotlight is on the talks, and this trip just happened to be scheduled at this time, and everyone is trying to keep the schedule. But I think all eyes are still on what's going on with Iran.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it, what's going on with Iran is pretty cut and dry, and it's pretty clear. We've had our Secretary of State, we've had our National Security Advisor, we've had the president himself, we've had so many people that have came out and said Iran will not be allowed to enrich uranium. They're allowed to have a peaceful nuclear energy program, but they've got to import the uranium just like everybody else. And Iran doesn't like that. Iran actually said that, no, we are going to enrich uranium. They keep coming back and saying absolutely not. And it seems to me, and I think everybody else that like has any inkling of common sense, that Iran is not going to give up their enrichment. Now, if that's the case, that leaves us one option left, which is the strength portion. We've been trying the peace portion. We've been trying the diplomacy portion. And with the USS Carl Vinson moving closer, now there was one piece, and I think Nate Vance actually touched on this morning when I had him over on the podcast, that we saw one piece of intel that came out that said that the B-2s were moving out of Diego Garcia. I haven't seen anything new on that other than that one. I mean, I haven't even seen it confirmed yet that the B-2s have moved out of Diego Garcia, but somebody actually came out and said that it happened. But we also moved an aircraft carrier a hell of a lot closer. Not to mention we've moved a buttload of firepower in and around the Middle East. I don't think we need that many B-2s, but maybe we do. I think Israel is going to join us alongside. I think Israel is definitely going to help out with this. I think Netanyahu's chomping at the bit. And for anybody that says, I saw it down in the comment section, I think it was Mark said that when you're negotiating, you should inform your allies. If you can tell me where that's written down, I'd be happy to agree with you. I haven't seen that written down anywhere where when I'm negotiating, where the United States is negotiating to get one of their citizens back, that we should inform our allies. The only thing that really makes me think that we should have is because he's also a dual citizen and he's actively serving in the IDF. That to me would make sense why you would want to do that. If we're just going to ride that he's a U.S. hostage line, no. But the fact is he's a dual citizen. I think, yes, the U.S. should have engaged in some diplomacy with Israel there to let them know that it was going on. But maybe they were worried that the whole thing would get screwed up because Israel and Qatar, not so much freaking, you know, friends with each other. You know what I mean? So that's probably a good reason why. Nonetheless, Netanyahu is actually pretty happy about it, regardless of what everybody says.
Idan Alexander chazar abayta. Anachum mechapkim oto. Anachum mechapkim et mishpachto. זה הושג בזכות הלחץ הצבאי שלנו והלחץ המדיני שהפעיל הנשיא טראמפ. הדבר הזה זה שילוב מנצח. דיברתי היום עם הנשיא טראמפ, הוא אמר לי, אני מחויב לישראל, אני מחויב להמשיך לעבוד איתך בשיתוף פעולה הדוק כדי להשיג את כל מטרות המלחמה שלנו. לשחרר את כל החטופים ולנצח את החמאס. זה הולך ביחד, הדברים משולבים זה בזה.
Now, how many of you guys think that Netanyahu just made that statement to keep the United States of America happy and that Netanyahu just for some reason wanted to appease the United States for getting Adan released? I don't think that's the case whatsoever. I think Netanyahu is genuinely happy that a hostage has been released. It's a good thing. It could be politicking. I see it in the comment section. You're right. It could be politicking, but I don't think it is. I think it's just being a regular human being and being happy that somebody ended up getting released. Period. End of discussion. I think anybody that goes and tries to divide these two allies right now and throws it out there and starts talking about dividing the United States and Israel and how Netanyahu's secretly pissed off at Trump and all of this other crap, I think all you're doing is repeating some sort of either terrorist or Russian propaganda to try to get us a little bit weaker. Because I see those same words being repeated on all of these social media accounts that everybody freaking hates, that everybody knows is pushing this like BS Palestinian narrative or this BS Russian narrative. I am now seeing people here in the United States of America that were originally against all of those players that now want to come out and spit the same narrative that they're spitting. And it's disgusting me inside. It absolutely disgusts me. Sky God says, Matt, did you cover the op for the soldier held in Syria this morning stream? No, I did not. I did not cover that one. I'm sorry, my friend. Yep. Linda Liu says that she agrees with me. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, it's a really serious problem that I end up seeing with a lot of the different rhetoric that's being thrown around. And I think that there is a much bigger game at stake here. And it's something that I've talked to quite extensively. And it's like this information operation game that's going on. It always seems like there is some new freaking hit piece that ends up coming out on our political leadership. Even when we're doing good things, even when we're come out and flat out are stating, Iran, you are not allowed to enrich uranium. There is people going around screaming, they're going to let Iran enrich uranium. There's people screaming, Trump's doing this stuff behind Bibi's back. There's people screaming that Bibi and Trump hate each other. The one thing that people absolutely should be concerned with is what I just put up on the screen, which is allowing sanctions to be lifted on Syria. That's another step towards Jelani being legitimized as the freaking president of Syria. That's an issue. That man, as I told you guys before, 100% wants to establish a Sunni Islamic caliphate. Fact, he does. Fact, he has a bloodline to the Prophet Muhammad. Claim. Fact. His father claimed it in his book. We know he's got a bloodline claim to Muhammad. Further fact, we know that al-Baghdadi told him in the al-Nusra front to join up underneath ISIS. And he didn't want to do it. And the only reason I can think of that I can come up with is because he would have had to answer to al-Baghdadi. And if Jelani would have had to answer to al-Baghdadi, then he wouldn't have been able to serve as the dang caliph of the new Islamic caliphate. Now, would he? What Jelani ended up coming out publicly and saying is that he wanted to keep it Syrian-centric. He wanted to keep everything focused on Syria. I don't believe that one bit. It makes absolutely no sense. None. And what we've seen going on across Syria is genocide. And Israel has a reason to be concerned, and so does the United States of America. But for some reason, right now, the leadership over here in the United States is actually talking about letting Jelani meet up with Trump and lifting sanctions on that knucklehead. That is a very bad deal. Now, I could only hope that we end up killing him when we go over there and do that, but I highly doubt that's going to be the case. I really do. I doubt it. Here's what Trump had to say about the luxury jet from Qatar, by the way.
Mr. President, what do you say to people who view that luxury jet as a personal gift to you? Why not leave it behind?
You're ABC fake news, right?
Why not?
It's only ABC. Well, a few of you would. Let me tell you, you should be embarrassed asking that question. They're giving us a free jet. I could say, no, don't give us. I want to pay you $1 billion or $400 million or whatever it is. Or I could say, thank you very much. You know, there was an old golfer named Sam Snead. Did you ever hear him? He won 82 tournaments. He was a great golfer. And he had a motto. When they give you a putt, you say, thank you very much. You pick up your ball and you walk to the next hole. A lot of people are stupid. They say, no, I insist on putting it. And then they putt it and they miss it. And their partner gets angry at them. You know what? Remember that. Sam Snead, when they give you a putt, you pick it up and you walk to the next hole and you say, thank you very much.
And that's it. That's what he has to say. A golf analogy, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing but a golf analogy. Now, I am curious to hear from some of you guys now that, like, my audio is sounding better and everything's back up. And it's been a hot minute since I've been able to sit and talk with you guys. I do want to hear from you guys over in the Discord now that everything's up and running and it sounds beautiful. I'm glad everybody agrees. I appreciate you guys. You know, it's funny when my audio is off, it seems like everybody feels the need to, like, go in there and shout at me, like, Matt, you sound like crap. Like, I've heard the first 1,000 people that said it. I don't need you to repeat it. It just pisses me off. But when it sounds so good, I get very few praise. And that's okay. That's okay. Discord is now open up. Looking forward to hearing from all of you guys up over in the Discord chat. I want to hear from y'all. I want to hear what you guys have to say and everything else. Oh, sounds good. Oh, look at you guys. Now you're coming in. Now you're coming in and telling me how great it sounds audio-wise. That's good. Oh, I love it. All right, let's see who we got coming up in here to chat. Canman wants to jump up in here, and so does Banshee. All right. Brian, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very, very good today. All right. Let's see. Who did you bring up first, Brian? I never give you a chance to speak, Brian. Did you want to go first today?
No, they can all go first. I want to say it was Caveman. I think I brought up first.
It's Can Man. We're going with Can Man.
Can Man. Sorry.
Can Man. What you got?
I just want to say audio does sound great, but the lighting kind of makes you look like you have a black eye sometimes.
Yeah, you know, still working on the lighting. Give me a little bit here. Lighting was like the end.
Yeah,
but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay. Just want to give you a heads up.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll order some more lights. Is that it? Yes, it looks like
that was it. Yeah, now that's it.
Is it this view that makes me look like I have a black eye? This one right here, or is it this one?
I think if you turn your head a little more to your right.
Interesting. All right, noted. Work on lighting. Check. Thanks, man. Banshee, what's up? Banshee. Ryan, do you hear Banshee talking? Oh, Banshee's gone. Oh, my God. Oh, my good Lord. All right, side view. Yeah, you guys get the side view, you get the front view, you get all the views. Hell yeah. Well, Brian, that's all I got. I'm looking forward, I think, over the next 2 days. I think one thing I ended up forgetting to tell everybody is that we do have an issue that's going on over in Pakistan with, like, an uprising that's taking place over there. A bunch of people are, I got to dig into this because I'm not familiar with this little terror organization that they have going on. And Pakistan and India are trading shots across the border. That's it. But generally speaking, everything. You hear anything else other than that, Brian?
No, I haven't heard anything else new.
Yeah, it's all pretty quiet.
Do you think it's just going to be like little skirmishes like that between Pakistan and India, or do you think they're going to probably escalate into a full-on war?
I think we're going to stick with skirmishes for a while. I think that there's enough world powers that ended up getting involved to where it's not going to. But there's always like that one little event that could really set the whole thing off, and that's kind of what I'm concerned about is it just takes one. You know what I mean? Just one.
Sorry, I was having a connection issue. Did you see how much equipment we just moved into the Philippines?
I did not. What did we move into the Philippines?
Like 22,000 mechanized vehicles, a whole bunch of anti-air and air defense units, and that's where the B-2s got moved to. They're sitting in Australia right now.
I see a prospective sale of 20 F-16s to the Philippines.
No. I'm talking like we put that new base. We just like put a bunch of people on that new base. There's literally not even room to throw a stick anymore.
No. Well, I mean, maybe it's a good thing, to be honest. I will dive into that a little bit later. Do you have a reason why we would be doing that other than a new base?
I sent you a couple links. There's a couple generals, and there was a huge conference between the heads of each branch going over the threat of China, and they're proposing China going to try a Pearl Harbor-esque attack in the next 2 years.
That'd be interesting. That'd be a huge mistake on their behalf. They ended up doing that.
It could just be trying to call for funding. You know how it is, but...
Yeah,
the fact we're moving a bunch of stuff over there means we're not playing around about it, at least.
Not at all. No. Well, thanks for the heads up. I'm going to give that a look. You see here in a little bit. Ghost Cat, what you got?
Hey there. I wanted to say that I'm really grateful about the Aidan Alexander. Yeah. And yeah, just about the Qatar plane. You know, I agree that, you know, we got to wait and see and stay with facts. It isn't illegal, and we don't know when it's going to be ready. So I just wonder, you know, people have been, like, freaking out, you know, especially, like, people that have, like strong emotional connection to Israel. And I agree that we want to stay connected and not let, especially with midterms on the horizon, not let things, silly things like this disturb the party. You know, I understand the whole Muslim Brotherhood argument of Qatar, and I also believe that Donald J. Trump is not the kind of person, he's a leader of the free world, that is so swayed by a gift.
you know, he's the kind of man, from what I perceive, that is like, of course, that's what I'm going to get a gift and you're not going to get anything back. You know, so okay. I just wanted to put out there. And I have one more thing to say, but I'll let you say whatever you want to that.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy that he ended up getting out. And as far as like the gift from Qatar, I don't even look at it as a gift. I look at it as something that needed to get done inside of the United States anyways. Getting the legislation passed to approve it and getting all that crap done would likely take for flipping ever. So yeah, if we can get a new aircraft on board, I think that's it. I think people are looking for way too many double meanings behind this, and they're just not going to find it because it's not out there, you know?
I agree. And I also think he did do the right thing fiscally. You know, he's really thinking about the taxpayers and he will always put America first.
Sure.
So, and then the other thing I want to mention that is on the horizon is that there's an Israeli company named Eliat Ashkelon Pipeline Company, EAPC. And they're in serious considerations right now of extending the pipeline that it already has to transport oil from Saudi Arabia and UAE. And that way Israel would translate it directly to Europe, bypassing the Suez Canal and whatever is going to continue happening there or not in the future. So I wanted to put that out because that's something like really serious that's on the horizon, aside from like expanding the Abraham Accords. So there's like really good things happening. And that's why, in my opinion, Benjamin Netanyahu has felt confident to come out and start saying, yeah, we're looking at, you know, like becoming more independent so that we don't receive, you know, the $2 billion in aid from right. the United States, even that's always under contract to reinvest it right back into, you know, the Department of Defense. So thanks for letting me share that. And thanks for all you do, Matt. You're so amazing.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, over here battling the YouTube comments section right now about how everybody on Discord, once I opened it up, was suddenly louder than me. I don't know, some interface. I'll figure it out. Nate, what's going on, brother?
Sorry, I'm an idiot. I got to turn my mic on, and I'll turn it down. Maybe I'll be equally as loud as you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I turned down everybody over here, so yep, I got that ability.
Now, my main thing that I was going to talk about is, I hope this Jelani meeting, I kind of wish Western leaders would quit giving this guy a platform and quit validating him. There may be something having to do with Turkey that... That has to do with that. It's weird that he's cozying up to Jelani right around the same time that big meeting's going to happen between the Russians and Ukraine in Turkey.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong at all. And that is one hell of a correlation to put the two things together. Yeah, you're right. But I also don't think that Turkey and Russia have anything when it goes down to Ukraine. Like, what sway does Turkey have over Russia? Like, why would we capitulate to Turkey in this case? Especially when you're talking about giving a freaking country to a terrorist.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. And I do know that Turkey might have some sway over Iran. That may have something to do with it. So
Germany just
weird
went out today and gave Putin an ultimatum.
Say that. Mm-hmm. What did Germany say?
Who did? Oh,
Germany did.
Basically, if he didn't come to a ceasefire peace negotiations and the next 2 weeks, they were going to allow Ukraine unfiltered military aid.
Yep. Saw that
well,
coming.
They said that over the weekend, and the deadline was today. So,
okay.
They unless they extended their deadline, which would be annoying because.
Well, you have the talks that are coming up. So,
I didn't see anything specific, but I know that there was a pretty significant announcement from Germany. I haven't read about it yet. I haven't had the time. I don't know if that's the extension of the deadline or not, but there was a significant announcement from Germany regarding Ukraine and Russia and the peace agreement.
So, real quick question, Nate, that just dropped in. I'm going to give my response. I'm kind of curious what yours is, too. Sol asked it. Pretty good question. He said, going off topic, but what do you think Europeans need to focus on to better help Ukraine and Europe from Russia? Seems like they're waiting on us to take the lead. And then he said, awesome platform and community. Me personally, I think that they are 100% waiting on the United States of America to get its act together and figure out what we are going to do. And as far as like where their focus needs to go, exactly what was just stated. I talked about all the money that's going to go back into the EU's economy once the Red Sea is reopened, and that they're going to be able to get a buttload more freaking equipment over to Ukraine because of it. They're likely going to increase funding after the Red Sea opens, and it looks like Germany comes out and announces that. I know, what's his name? Not the fake cokehead. French president.
Macron,
thank you. Macron, yeah, no, that's a napkin. That's a napkin, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, what do you think, man?
Well, first of all, I'd like to know what the street market value for napkins is, because I have a bunch of them, and I bought them before they became cocaine. And so I could probably get into a buy low, sell high thing here. But one of the things that the Europeans, and it's like they got in bed with Russia prior to 2022. They kind of got in bed with Russia in terms of energy usage and things like that. So they became dependent on them. And weaning yourself of those dependencies is not instant, right? It takes a long time to find other routes for energy and things like that. But they're doing it, and I think they need to continue to do that. I mean, I know as like a troop, we always kind of focus on the kinetic ways to punish your enemy. Mm-hmm. But you can take away weapons by taking away the money that it is required to build them in the first place. So the Europeans have really an ability. There is a lot of sanctioning left on the table that they haven't put into place. And they need to focus on that as well as the kinetic stuff.
What do you think the odds are that Europe's actually going to really, really influx a buttload of money into Ukraine like the U.S. is saying we're going to do?
Well, I think it's pretty high.
Germany, what the update with Germany was, is they are now sending Taurus cruise missiles and launchers, along with the guidance systems and counter measure protection systems, being air defense systems to protect it. And those are semi-long range. Like those, you could reach out and touch Moscow with those.
Yeah. You know, I would like to see some serious long-range capabilities supplied to Ukraine. I would like to see some serious long-range capabilities with unfettered access. Do whatever the hell you want with it. Bomb the shit out of Russia. Kill and destroy whatever the hell you want. Give him the ability to reach out and touch that new freaking RDX facility that I talked about this morning.
Yeah, and the thing too, when you say long range, right, 500 kilometers or whatever the range of the Taurus is not long range when you have a country like Russia that's 9,000 kilometers from west to east, or however long it is. So long range is relative. Russia's a big country, and you want to give them no safe haven. No safe haven, right? I know that's hard to do, but I don't think they're going to start building facilities in Kamchatka and driving everything across on trains all the way across the country.
Yeah, 310 miles really isn't like what you're saying, heading halfway across Russia into their manufacturing plants.
I also want to just point something out. My wife is Ukrainian. Her family has been in Ukraine since the beginning of the war. Her brother, her uncle actually fought a number of the mid. And what you just touched on, this is an emotional argument, but what you just touched on is one of the most frustrating things from Ukrainians themselves, is that we have given them weapons and then been like, oh yeah, you can't use them in this way, right?
Right.
That has been one of the most frustrating things for them.
It's like going to a strip club your first day out of prison, right? Like, you can look, but don't touch. You know, you can't actually do what you want to do. It's stupid. Don't, you know what I mean? I'd almost rather them not send it. But to send it and then say you can't use it is stupid.
It's silly. It's beyond stupid.
And the entire media apparatus that bastardizes them as well for doing it when they do, which has just been wild, you know?
Right.
Oh.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, I do. I think though the one thing I think that you've seen is in the first, well, up until basically this week, you've seen Western leadership begging Russia not to do things, and now you're seeing them tell them not to do things, and that's a difference, and it's a notable difference, and that means that something's changed amongst those Western leaders, that's giving them the confidence to change that tone. So I don't know what it is specifically that gave him that confidence, but I'm glad they changed.
I got a feeling that how they got their confidence was the U.S. basically changing its stance. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, we've been half-ass funding Ukraine for a really long period of time. And I don't use that term lightly. We've been half-ass funding Ukraine for a really long period of time. And for us to finally take a stance and say, listen, either make peace or we're going to fund this war to no other end and Putin, you're going to lose. And at the same time, kind of pushing on Zelensky just a tad, at least to show up to freaking Turkey, even though everybody with common sense knows it's not going to amount to a damn thing. But I think that stance right there is kind of what's given everybody else the gumption to step up, not to mention freeing up $164 billion freaking dollars.
Yeah, I think there's some tactical considerations on the ground, things changing a little bit that have also kind of led to that thought process that, like, hey, things are kind of shifting. I'm not going to go into super detail about that, but yeah, mainly it's like, look, you know, whether you like Trump or hate Trump or no matter how you feel about him, America can provide a lot of things that can kill people and break things. So if they're on board, your situation improves dramatically. But that's the problem, is they got to be all the way on board.
Yeah. And that fully on board is going to involve, in my opinion, allowing them to do what they need to do with whatever weapon systems is provided. Their country has been invaded, period. That to me means no holds barred. And we've been giving them freaking weapons and then handcuffing them and telling them to try to figure it out. You know what I mean? It just didn't make any sense. So.
Well, yeah, I make this, you know, if, I mean, I know the situations are different and this is extremely unlikely to happen, but let's say Canada invaded and took over like Montana, Oregon, yep, you know, and a few northern states, we would kill everyone. Right? There would be nothing that we wouldn't do to get that back. I mean, correct, you can go back and look at the Civil War when the South tried to leave on their own accord. They didn't even invade. They tried to leave, and you had Sherman cutting giant swaths 50 miles wide through the South, which was what was the according to the North's view, that was their own country. So Americans are typically fairly nice. But, you know, you got to put yourself, you got to exhibit some empathy. And how would you feel if you were a Ukrainian? And if you were a Ukrainian, you'd be like, I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah. And we're not talking about the United States putting boots on the ground. We're simply talking about providing them and allowing them to use the equipment as we would. And I think the big issue is America lost its backbone. And we're worried that Russia is going to do something to the United States of America should we, for some reason, supply a cruise missile that happens to take out a brand new RDX facility. I think Russia would be a little bit butthurt about it. But I don't think people realize that it's not going to be Russia attacking us directly. It's going to be the type of crap that we've been seeing going on all around the world. And some of it, in Matt's opinion, here at home.
It's generational warfare, really. You know?
I mean, starting to take it serious when you're starting to see guys with painted faces doing badass crap on the recruiting commercials again.
Yeah, I mean, that just needed to happen, period. Like, our military needed to get fixed. It was going so downhill for so long. And I could rant about this forever. It started underneath Obama. Everybody thought it was going to get fixed under Trump. It doesn't work that way, and it's not going to get fixed under this presidency, but at least they're moving in the right direction. My issue with it, every time we make major changes, like we have been doing over the last freaking 15 years, is what ends up happening is we end up blowing a shit ton of money, and we end up taking away from our number one goal inside of the military, which is war fighting. Like, DEI doesn't have it, but I guarantee you the next freaking Democrat that comes into office is going to end up reversing those policies. I would rather they force the NFL to have women play than the military.
Yeah, like, that. I don't know why politicians can't figure it. Well, I do know why. It's a political football, right? And it's a bunch of nerds that don't know anything about, you know, what warfare's like, that they think it's just a big social engineering project. But that's not what it is. And if we go to war with, say, China, for example, and you're some, you know, Marine on an island chain out in the middle of the Pacific, thousands of miles away from your nearest, logistic resupply hub, Do you think I care if the 100-pound girl in the fighting position next to me has two moms or whatever it was on that bullshit commercial? No.
No.
I care if she can kill people and break things. That's it. That's the only thing I care about. And if she can't, she sucks and she doesn't need to be there. If she can, great. Let her be there. But don't lower the standards for anybody. I don't care who they are.
Well,
you're talking about the social fabric, though, there. You're talking about this, like, how society views these gender roles, and it's been extrapolated to the military at this point, right? Where it is socially acceptable for that to be an argument at all, even against most of the facts, right? Like, we shouldn't even be needing to have this conversation, yet we are, because fundamentally we have a lot of social destabilization, which is that fifth generational warfare that you guys are talking about, have been talking about, and exactly how that interweaves into, like, education, values, and morals, and things like that. Why on earth is special forces even a conversation when it comes to lowering standards? That doesn't even make sense.
Major League Baseball, but personally, I feel like we should, instead of being like, oh, they took human growth hormones, we gotta kick them out the SEALs, why don't we take all the medical science we have, and, like, there should be a most elite unit.
Well, so here's my thing, sounds good in theory, everything that they're talking about, but it goes down to the military's ability to actually implement it. Saying that we're going to have the same standard across the board for both males and females sounds great. And what ended up happening the last time we played that game and we actually did those tests is we discovered that a lot of the females couldn't meet those standards. And so that's where they started to get changed. And then they started to lower. And they started to lower them in random different ways that a lot of people don't even know about. We could talk about things like the run route for Ranger School during Rap Week, how they changed the run route up right before the freaking first females ended up started going through. They started slowly doing things over time so that they could say, look, when this happened, we didn't change the standards. But I can point to you time and time again where people have came out and complained about it. It's the military's ability to implement it. It's not that there's not women out there that can't meet the standard. It's that we don't have the ability as human beings. Well, excuse me, some of us have the ability of human beings to tell it how it is. But those flipping officers that are sitting up high want to be the first ones that are able to appease the president and say, look, we managed to push these individuals through. We're the first ones to get a female to pass this. We did this. We did that. It gives them a bullet. It gives them a shot at promotion. They turn into political figures. And that type of shit needs to change. We need to make sure that, like, general officers or, dude, any flag officer for that matter cannot come anywhere near political office for years after they get out. If we started changing that type of stuff, it would make the world a better place. We need to make it so that they can't be heading up these freaking companies. Like, you just don't get to go into the defense industry and things of that nature. It's just not, it screws the military over. It's a national security issue. That's my opinion.
No, I agree 100%. You get promoted to flag officer, you almost immediately, you basically have to sign a contract that says you can't work for Lockheed Martin or fucking BAE Systems. Or, you know, any one of those big, you know, military contractors for 5 years, 10 years, something like that. And you can't be a lobbyist. That's right. Another thing. But yeah, it's like, honestly, I don't care if the person next to me is this is what happens. These politicians want to roll up a demographic into under their tent of, you know, voting base.
Mm-hmm.
So they're stupid. So they're like, oh, I don't know, LGBTQ, right? And I got nothing against them. I don't care if that's what you want to do, do it, right? But there's probably not a high number of, like, trans men. I don't even know how it works, right? Men that have converted into women that are taking estrogen that are going to make good infantrymen, right? It just doesn't work that way, right? Well, and then also, if you got somebody that's so sensitive that they lose their mind over a pronoun, they're going to be in for a rude awakening when people start trying to shoot at them. So
yeah,
don't try to force that into the military. Just have the standards, let the standards dictate who gets in and who doesn't, and that's it.
Yep.
If a trans man passes the standards, hey, welcome aboard.
No, see, and I disagree. Yeah. No, see, and that's where I disagree, because here's the problem. Because I watched it, and it was implemented underneath Trump, if I remember correctly. I think it was implemented after Trump came into office, and I got a huge briefing on it about people transitioning inside of the military and going from one standard to the other and how all that crap worked, which is nice that the SecDef ended up coming out and directing them to have one uniform standard for these combat arms inside the military. But it doesn't matter, because the moment to me, it's like getting pregnant while on active duty. A lot of people can be pissed off at me for saying this all you want. You shouldn't be allowed to get pregnant on active duty. You shouldn't. Especially if you're an officer, especially if you're a combat leader, because you can get pregnant and get out of a deployment. You can get pregnant while you're overseas, and all of a sudden your unit's without a leader. There was a time inside of Iraq where you were forbidden from having sex. You couldn't do it. And that women who got pregnant were getting sent back home and getting UCMJ. They were getting freaking penalized for it. Why? Because it took away from the warfighting function. It took away from the mission. It was a detriment to the unit. And we were able to prosecute people back then, but we can't do it now. It's bullshit.
Let me clarify on that opinion I have. I don't care how you feel in your mind, but the moment you start saying, I'm going to mutilate my body and get on hormones, you got to go, right? If you want to start doing that, like, I don't really care what's going on up here as long as you can pass all the standards. Just shut up about it. Nobody cares anyway. But if that's how you feel, whatever, right? Just keep it to yourself. Do your job. But yeah, if you're in the military and you think it's the taxpayer's responsibility to, invert your whang, it isn't. So get out, EAS. Contracts are 4 years long. Just wait a couple years and do it when you're out as a civilian. Right. Don't do it in the military.
Well, and then they bring up the mental health issue. Oh, well, now it's hell for them. Like, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. I can't do this right now. I could rant about this all day long.
Me neither. We'll start getting mad and I'll get you demonetized if we keep going.
Yeah, we will. Let's go ahead and I'll tell you what, this has been a great night. I'm happy that the audio is working. I'm happy the studio looks quasi okay right now. I got more stuff coming in to make it a hell of a lot better, and I look forward to those days when they come. So it's gonna be nice. I'm gonna have a beautiful little setup here, and I love it. Nate, what do you think about the bunker, man? You happy with the bunker setup?
I like it, dude. It's cool, man. It does look like you're in a bomb shelter,
right?
You know? So
I like the bunker, man. I'm a big fan of the bunker.
Yeah,
big fan.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to come check that out at some point in person.
Yeah, you know, you're more than welcome to. Just let me know, and I'll drag you into the bunker, man. No problem. But
yeah, just don't do me like Rob and lock me down there.
Oh, no, he's out now. He's out. And for everybody that's curious, he is set to graduate from the police academy next month. Pretty excited about that for him. Like, really, really proud of that man. And I think he's going to get a wonderful taste of how the world works when he gets out. It's a weird place out there, man. I can't wait to hear the stories. It's going to be good. Yeah, man. All right. Well, Nate, everybody over on the Discord, you guys, thank you all for joining us tonight. Appreciate your guys' input. Like always, Nate, are we going to be blessed with your presence tomorrow morning? Because it's getting to be that time.
If you want me there, yeah.
Yeah,
let's do it.
It's getting to be that time. All right, man, friends. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. All the mods over in the Discord, all the mods on YouTube. Love you guys very much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I got a lot more stuff to do because there's a lot of studio improvement to happen. I know it might not seem like it, but I've been sitting here working on this thing 24/7. I was up till about midnight, 1 a.m. last night, still working, still adjusting, and that's why I'm getting a little bit frustrated sometimes when things don't go as planned. But appreciate you guys. Until next time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.